This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good, good, good. So we're the ones that got left behind. Is that what it is? You didn't travel on Labor Day, I take it, or you've already come back, right? So you guys are just the stay-at-home people. You had nowhere to go. Or did anybody's plans get rained out? You just never planned on going anywhere. I'm sorry. All right. So turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm glad that you stayed here. That's good. Exactly. Would have nobody to talk to if you weren't here. Well, this is a big week. School has started, right? The kids are all excited. Is that right? No? Parents are excited? Yes? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, there you go. Just one little peep. All right. So school has started. The buses are back on the road. College is back in. All these great things are happening. And I started classes myself. I'm taking an online class. I have to go for 1 week in October to go up there. But my reading has started. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read, I cannot read when it's quiet. I'm ADD. I hear everything else around. I got to have music on. But I can't have music with lyrics. Anybody else like that? I mean, if I'm listening to lyrics, I either start singing or my mind goes. So I have found, and a lot of you guys have found, the online, you know, radio things. And I love it. I like Pandora. Some people like Spotify. And I heard of a new one called Slacker, which I think is a great name. I don't know if it's because they're stealing the music or what. But I use Pandora. It's easier. And it's like 16 years old now, so it's ancient, right? So if you know about Pandora, kind of a cool thing. Over 250 million people are registered on Pandora. About 70 million, 80 million, somewhere in there, use it all the time. And I like it because there's a couple of stations I have found, because you create your own station. One I created was called Soundtrack. And it's just movie soundtracks. I typed in, and I know this is weird, but I typed in a Forrest Gump soundtrack because I like that one. And in it, what's so cool about it is on Pandora, they kind of take the music you want to hear, and then they pick other songs that are close to it. And then they kind of combine that together. There's over 2,000 focus traits that Pandora uses to kind of figure out what you like. So they use things like the rhythm, the tonality, whether it has lyrics or not, the writing style, the topics, all that's together, and they create a station for you. And the cool thing I like about Pandora, the other thing I like, is that there's little things you can do, thumbs up or thumb down. You guys know this? And so if you don't like the song, you do it thumbs down. It takes that particular artist off your playlist and anything that's close to it. And if you give it thumbs up, it kind of figures out why did they give thumbs up to that when it finds songs close to it. And so you create this own soundtrack to be listening to and create, for me, a place I can read. I also like classical music for studying. There's actually a station called that in Pandora, classical music for studying. The only problem with that is it puts me to sleep. And so I'll be reading, listening to that, and I'm just kind of fading off. But I love it. I love to listen to it and then just have it on in the background because I just like to have music. It's kind of like you're doing your own movie. I also, when I'm not reading, like to listen to a particular station. I created one called Chris Tomlin. And I like Chris Tomlin, but the thing is, it's not all his music. It's not like Spotify where you play a whole album. What it does is it finds other artists that are close in style to that and instrumentation and just, in this case, worship or praise music, and it puts it all together into this station that they call Chris Tomlin Radio. And the kind of the thing that it puts with it, like the little tagline is this. They call it the perfect soundtrack for your day. And I think that's true. If you can find praise music or worship music that appeals to you, that speaks to your spirit, to have it on during the daytime, at nighttime, just allow God to speak to you, give you a chance to worship through someone else is a great thing to have. Because I think we all need music. God created music for us to connect with him and to connect with our emotions. And the thing about the Psalms, as we look at that, the Psalms were written, I believe, as a soundtrack. We do not have the music itself, but we do have the words. And the Psalms are kind of cool to look at. The word psalm is a Greek word. It's actually Psalm 1. It means the praise songs or songs of praise. In Hebrew, it's Tehillim, and it means just praise to God. And you guys know, if you kind of look in your Bible, see there's 150 psalms, different psalms, and who knows which one of those is the longest psalm and the longest one in the whole Bible, has the most chapters, who knows, or most verses. Anybody know what number? 119, longest psalm in the Bible. All right, who can tell me how many verses without cheating and looking? Nobody. 176, okay? And what is the shortest psalm in the Bible, shortest chapter in the Bible? 1:17, which is only two chapters short. The 1:17 is actually the due center of your Bible. So you can try that now. We have Bibles on the table if you want to try this. But you can try just closing your Bible and open it and see where it falls. It may fall right around 1:17 if it's not a study Bible. If it's a study Bible, that throws it off. And you can keep trying that the whole time that I'm speaking today. You can place bets at your table. You can get closest, that kind of stuff. I just get to share in the winnings when you're done, all right? Here's a fun thing that you can do, Psalm 117. You can tell the people at your table or when you go home, someone else, that you're going to learn a psalm in 2 minutes, a chapter of the Bible in 2 minutes, and bet them that you can do it, okay? And you can get that two verses, all right? So it's a great thing to go home and tell your grandparents or tell your mom or tell somebody else that you can memorize a psalm. 117 is the shortest one, due center of your Bible. But there's 150 different psalms that are just written. About one-third of them are prayers and just people pouring out their heart to God. When you look at the Psalms, you'll see different writers. David, of course, wrote one of the Psalms, or many of the Psalms. He's one of the writers. Ethan the Ezrahite wrote Psalm 89. That's how we picked our son's name. We were looking through the Bible and said, Ethan's a cool name. I don't advise just opening the Bible and finding your kid's name. You might end up with Jezebel, so don't do that. Don't name your child Jezebel or anything like that. But we looked at Ethan the Ezrahite. That's cool. Is Psalm 89. We kind of read through that and said, that'd be a good name to have. But he was one of the writers. You'll see that there's a lot of songs written by a group called the Sons of Korah. They're not really sons of Korah. There wasn't a person. There was a person named Korah, but wasn't a parent. It is a writing guild, meaning a group of writers, psalm writers, poets, who got together under this title, and they trained each other over years to write these psalms. And so kind of go through and look at those headings of your psalms as you get going and see what God wants to say to you. Because here's the deal, every human emotions in existence, I believe, is spoken about in the Psalms. You'll see people at their lowest, lowest depths, and you'll hear their words and go, okay, that's what I feel like. You'll see people that are dealing with conflict, okay, that's what I feel like. You'll see people that feel distance from God, and they go, I feel like that too, that's my experience. And I think that's why we have the Psalms, so they can touch our experience, they can speak to us, and it gives us words to say back to God. And the thing is, as we went through this series, it's a very short series, only 3 weeks. Week one, Charlie took that one and he spoke about, what do you do when you've sinned and you feel far away from God? And we looked at David's life and we realized that God said, just come as you are. And the psalmist, David in this case, just said, just come and let God just take you and create a new heart in you and make you new. And that's the thing to do when we're feeling distant from God. Then last week I talked about how many of the Psalms and in our life speak to that experience we have when things aren't going the way we hoped, dreamed, or planned for. And there's a lot of those Psalms. Because that's when we need God the most, isn't it? When we're just really feeling down, things are not happening the way, and we turn to God. And so we looked at that last week. This week we're going to look at something a little different. I've never heard anyone speak about this kind of thing before, but I think it's important. And then this week we're going to talk about what do you do when the opposite happens. What do you do when everything's going good? You ever think about that? Some of you are going, I've never experienced that. I don't know what it feels like. All right, what would that be like? If I ever get there one day, I'll be cool. But what do you do when everything's going good in life? Because here's the deal. For as many people I've ever met in my life that have walked away from God because they're angry, and I've met some people that are really angry at God because a prayer didn't get answered the way they hoped or because something happened to them, and they're just very angry at God. Some of them say they're atheists. Which doesn't make a lot of sense to be mad at God that you don't believe in, but that's how they feel. It's really a personal thing. It's an emotional thing. I'm mad at God. For every person I've met like that, I've probably met at least two more who've walked away from God or drifted away from God because things were going too good. It's when we don't need God, when we think we don't need God, when everything's going the way we want it to, and we kind of just wake up one day and go, where did God go? Where did God go? And God didn't go anywhere. We kind of drifted. And what do you do when everything's going good? We're going to look at that today. Before we get there, I want to just say this is an ancient problem. When the Israelites were coming out of slavery and they were about to go into the promised land and get everything they ever hoped for or imagined, all the promises of God, and they were excited about that. They were going to finally move out of being in slavery and move out and actually own a place and have a life. God stopped them and said, let's talk about this for a minute. And this is what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We have these, and God's speaking through Moses, and he's speaking to the people. And he says this to them, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, when you have everything that you want, you have all the food you want. They're used to not having food, but one day they're going to eat and be full. And they built good houses, and they live in them. We're trying to get that dream home that we've always wanted. He said, be careful And when your herds and flocks multiply, your job is going well. Everything that you dreamed of is happening at your job. And in this case, they're herders and they're shepherds. And they go, when that all happens the way we want, and your silver and gold is multiplied, our bank accounts are full, we got a savings account finally, we got money to spend. It says, be careful that when all that you have is multiplied, next verse, then your heart be lifted up. Which sounds like a good thing, but this means your heart comes up in a kind of prideful thing and you forget the Lord your God. You ever notice that? You're just kind of going through life and you realize, I haven't talked to God in a while. See, when things are bad, we talk to God all the time, right? When things are going good and all the things we ever dreamed ever happened, we forget God. Forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You ever notice that when that happens? You're praying about something, and you finally get it. And then that thing you've been praying about and wanting kind of takes you away from God. Here's a quote that I saw the other day. It says this, sometimes the things God has given you become the things that take you away from God. Right? We've been praying and praying. You pray for that house that you get. And you get that house, you're so tied up into the house, you just kind of drift away from God. You pray for a job, and you get the job you always wanted, and you end up working all the time, and that's all you think about is your job, and your mind kind of goes that way, and that thing you've been wanting is drifting you away. You've been praying to get married or have that person in your life, and you find that person finally, and they're not walking with Christ, and then you find after a while you're not walking with Christ, and you wake up one day and go, what happened? You forgot God, and it's so typical of human beings. Don't beat yourself up too much about it, because this is what all of us do when things are going good. There's a thing to think about. The thing that we prayed for takes away from God sometimes. Now, I joked in first service that we prayed a long time for kids, and we got our kids, and then they become teenagers, and you go, God, what happened? You know, I prayed for that, and it was cool, but we have great kids, and it's an awesome thing to have kids. We have to remember, God, I prayed for that, and I want them to bring us closer to you. So what do you do when life is going good? And maybe your life isn't going great right now. We'll write this stuff down. And when it is, God, I need to do this. And some of you guys are going like, I've never lived this well before. This is awesome. And so write these things down as a kind of a help. But we're going to look at Psalm 92 today. If you have your Bibles turned there, we do have Bibles on the table today. If you want to look at that, sometimes it's good to look at different versions of the Bible. You might have one and want to look. It's on page 552 in the books on the table. And this is Psalm 92. We'll go ahead and throw it up on the screen as well. At the very opening of the psalm, it says a psalm, which means a song of praise, and it's a song for the Sabbath, which means for the day that we all gather together. And it is a song that was to be sung. We don't have the music, but we have the lyrics, and so we want to read this together. We're going to go through it. I'm just going to read it straight through and kind of let God speak to you as we do this, because this is a living word of God, the active living word of God. He speaks to us. So this is what the psalmist wrote. We don't know who this is. Verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre, which we'd say today, the guitar, huh? Verse 4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. He said the bad times don't last. The people that are bringing a pain into your life, it doesn't last. Verse 9, for behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. Verse 10, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. It means his authority, his life has been lifted up. And it's a sign of just the life inside of it. It's been lifted up. It says, you have poured over me fresh oil. Verse 11, my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age, and they are ever full of sap and green. I love that imagery. As we get older, we're still ever green and full of sap. In verse 15, it declares that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Before we go on, let's pray together. Father God, as we read your word, as we take it in, I pray that you will speak to us, that your word is your speaking to us through your spirit to our spirit. Father, slow us down, slow our minds down. Help us to focus on what you want to say, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we go through the Word today, something I've always saw that seen that God has done in my life is as someone's speaking, even like I'm speaking, sometimes God wants to say something different to you. As God speaks, that's one of the reasons we have paper there, that as you go through the Word of God, write down what He says. Maybe go back and look at these verses. Maybe there's one that I don't highlight that you need to go back and look at. Write those things down, but this is when God speaks. But specifically today, we're going to talk about what do you do when life is going good. And there's several things in the psalm that deal with that, and I want to work through just three of them. You probably saw some other ones, but here's three that I saw. And the first thing that I saw is number one is this. Remember where it all comes from. Number one, when you are experiencing life, it's just life better than life. Remember where it all comes from so that we don't forget. Remember where it all comes from. Sometimes we just think we made it happen. But the psalmist tells us in verse 1 and 2 something different. He said, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. He's the one that did it. And again, the word Lord there is all caps. It means Yahweh. The Jews would not write His name. It means I am, the God who's here right now in this present. He's making this happen. But then He says to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And I know I wasn't familiar with this name of God. I'm used to a different name of God, Elohim, which means all-powerful God. But this is the name of God, Elion. God, you're over everything. You're up here, and everything else is under you, and everything that we get comes from you. You are the source of everything. Everything good in my life comes from you, God, and that's the almost high name of God. God, you are in control. God, you are sovereign. And it's good to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. It's good to talk about what God has done. It's good to have a God story. Do you guys have God stories that you talk about and you share, this is what God has done? Do you share them with your children? And here are the echoes. Here it says, when you talk about it in the morning and you're faithless at night, it echoes back to Deuteronomy 6, where Moses is telling the people, talk about God as you go and as you come, as you write it on your door frame. Talk about it with your children. Talk about it with your neighbors. Talk about God. Let it be part of your conversation. Every family, every group should have God stories. This is what God has done. In our family, we have a couple we like to share, and I've shared a couple of these before, so you have to bear with me, but one I like to talk about, and we got a chance to share while we were on our trip, is our Jeep story. It's a God story that if you haven't been here for very long, 3 years ago, God just kind of stepped into our life and did something kind of cool, and we have a Jeep. It's a four-door Jeep, and if you ever look at it and go, it's a good Jeep, but it's cool because it's a God thing. This is what happened. I used to drive a Zuzu Rodeo, okay? Yeah, I'm not cool. And it had like 300,000 miles, and it was on near the end of its life. And my father passed away 3 years ago, August. And when he passed away, we did his funeral. My family did his funeral. We got back on a Monday, his first day of school. And I got a call from the Jeep dealer here in the town. They said, you need to come in. I go, well, I need to come in. I don't own a Jeep. I own a rodeo. You know, that doesn't go with Jeep. And they kept going, you need to come in. You need to come in. I go, why? I was kind of I'll be honest, I was annoyed. I thought it was a sales call. I thought they were just pushing my buttons and stuff. And I say, my father just passed away. I got things to do. I really can't come down there. And she kept being persistent. She finally said, look, you got to come down here. Somebody's giving you something. I go, what did they give me? You know how you get this thing? Come down. You win a free vacation. I go, I don't want a free vacation. She finally goes, I'm not supposed to tell you, but somebody's giving you a car. Well, of course, it's a joke, right? I mean, how many times has it ever happened to you? Somebody's giving you a car. So I called Stacy. That's what you do when somebody's joking. You call your spouse. So I called her, and they'd just gotten done with school. I said, I don't know what this is. This person called us, so we got to come down to the Jeep dealer, get the kids. After school, we're going to go down there and just see what this is about. Then we'll just go about our business. So we drove down there, and then they have on the corner there, there are these Jeeps that are, like, facing down, like they're really rugged cars, cool, going down the hill, right? And so they said, the lady goes, that's yours. I go, what? That's yours. That's your Jeep. I go, what are you talking about? Somebody gave it to you, and I still this day, I don't know who it was or who it is. Have no idea. It's a God thing. I know that God spoke to somebody's heart and said, get those people out of this Zuzu rodeo, get them something new. But it was just a cool thing, and so we got it. I had to call the elders of the church and go, is it okay for us to take this thing? Because I didn't know. You know, do you take this thing? It's such a gift. And so we finally decided God wanted to do this, so we'll take it. And we have it. But every time somebody asks, I'll go, that's a nice Jeep. You know what I do? I go, I got to tell you God's story. How many times in my life have I been able to tell a God story to somebody and just say, this is where it came from. I didn't do anything for it. It's much more expensive than I'd ever spend for a car, much better car than I'd ever have. You know, I didn't ever pray for it. God just did it. Well, our other car, I'm going to tell you this, is a Toyota Sienna, 1999. We're approaching 300,000 miles, okay? The miracle is that it's still going. All right? It was a God story. We still tell this story, too, that when we got a van, we had our second boy, and our car got too small. Did it happen to anybody else? And when we decided as a family we had to get a van, Stacy cried. I will tell you that my wife cried I don't want to be a van mom. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. Find a different car. And we got to get a van. So we had to get a van. And it was like a heartbreaking time for her to go, I don't want a van. So anyway, the school I worked at was a Christian school, and I worked with people there all the time. And there was a lady that I would paint with. We just painted the whole school. We kind of volunteered to do that. And her husband owned the Toyota dealer. I said, well, I need a new van. She said, well, go down to this place and just go get one there. They have some there, used ones. We were getting a used one. So I went down there, went together, crying all the way, right? So I had to console her. It's okay. We won't call you van mom. I'll drive it sometime. And so we got down there, and we found a black Sienna. It was used. And we said, we'll take this one. They said, okay, come back to the office. Now, I don't know how you guys, I hate going back to the office. You know what I'm talking about? You know they're going to work you over, and they're going to try to talk you into stuff. And so you just get your back up. I'm going to say no to everything. I'm just going to say no. Whatever they say, I'm going to say no. So we went back in the back room. We look at the thing. You know how they bring you the papers, and they use the ploy. You got to talk to our manager. That's what they do. They go, here it is. We're going to talk to the manager. We'll come back. So the guy came down. He sat down and goes, how about if I take $2,000 off? Oh, okay, sure. I got to call the manager. Okay, you go talk to the manager. He comes back. Okay, how about, do you want a warranty? How much does it cost? We're going to give it to you. Really? Okay. And he gave us the warranty. He just kept adding stuff to it. And we go, this is crazy. This is backwards. I've never been in the backwards sales before. He keeps offering stuff. And so we knew God was at work, right? So finally at the end, what do? You just say, I'll sign the papers. If you're going to make me do it, I'll do it. So we became van owners, all right? And every time I get in that van, 300,000 miles, we figure in 300,000 miles, we've been in the thing about 6,000 hours. That's a lot of time. That's 8 months, night and day, of our life has been in this black van. It's going to die soon. It's going to die. But we're so grateful for it that God gave us this thing. And God keeps it running. If you know me, I know nothing about cars. It's a miracle it's still going. I have the oil changed. I don't do it. I have somebody else do it. We've had all this stuff happen to it, but it just keeps going. Every mile I get of that is a miracle. It's a God story. I love telling God stories. This is what God did in my life. And ours just happened to revolve around cars. Yours might be do something else. This week, our family moved. We're buying a new house. It's 6 weeks between the time we sold ours and the new house. And we sold our old house, and I told a story about going to the rental place to get the truck. So this week, to move the stuff out, I called the same place. I go, I need a truck. And the guy goes, I can't help you. You have to do it online. I said, okay, I'll do it online. And I know how to do it online. So I needed it Friday and Saturday morning. So I did online. I got two different days. And I went in there, and the guy behind the counter is Arabic, okay? And in our area, you just kind of look at that and go, I wonder what's going on. How did you end up here kind of thing? And as you got to talking about him, and we just talking about the truck, and he goes, let me get your email address. So I told him, he goes, are you a pastor? Well, you know, he's Arabic. How do you answer that? I just said, yeah, okay, I'm a pastor. He goes, you know, we have to take care of each other. Christians need to take care of each other. He goes, I'm part of the Arabs for Christ. He goes to church over in Kernersville. He says, we got to take care of each other. He says, it's hard to be a Christian today. Now, he really knows what it means to be hard to be a Christian these days. So he said, how about this? He said, you sign up to take the truck for 2 days. He says, I'm going dove hunting tomorrow. I don't want to deal with it. How about you just take it for a full day? Just bring it back when you want to. Bring it back Sunday morning. I go, wait, I'm a pastor. I got to preach. He goes, oh, I forgot. He said, just keep it whenever you want to bring it back. Just bring it back. And he goes, you were charged $59. How about 19? Would 19 be okay? Sure. It's fine by me. If you want to do that kind of business, I'll do it. And then he goes, well, I don't have blankets. He says, okay, I don't have any blankets. He goes, I'll throw in a dolly. You want a dolly? Sure, I'll take a dolly. So, okay. And then don't worry about filling it up. Just put as much gas as you want to put in it. Just bring it back when you want to. And the papers are all good. And he says, you know what? This Sunday, meaning today, at his church, they're preaching about Romans 8:28. Many of you guys can quote it. We usually quote it when we're upset, if things are going bad. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? Don't we always use that when things are going bad? I always do when things are going bad. All things, this is going to work out for good one day. I don't know how, but it's going to work out for good. And as I talked to him, as he talked to me, as he shared, he's like, I love it. He's preaching to me. I was like, this is awesome. You're preaching to me. Go ahead. I want to hear it. You come on Sunday if you want to. He's a great guy. I know his pastor over in Kernersville. He's a great guy. But this guy was saying, you know, we usually talk about this when it's bad, but here's a verse. What about this? What if all good things happen for good? Instead of all bad things happen for good, what if we looked at too, but all good things happen for good too? I never thought of it like that. God works good things together for good just as much as he works bad things together for good. Everything together for good. And we just have to remember where it comes from. Where does it come from? Now, you might look at your life like a lot of people do and go, well, what about what I did? I made my bed. I made this all happen. I worked hard to get what I wanted and everything. And you know, David, who wrote a lot of our Psalms, was in that position one day. And they were dedicating the temple. And he got everybody together and he told something to them that was so profound. I just wanted to share it with you. It's 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. And he's talking to the people and he says this, both riches and honor come from you. Meaning open doors come from God. Promotions come from God. Good grades come from God. New jobs come from God. And you rule over all. You're in charge, God. In your hand are power and might. You decide. You make this stuff happen. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. You do well at your work. Do you know that God made you so you could do well at your work? Now you have to apply it. Are you smart? Because God made you that way. You have an open door in front of you because God opened it. It's a different way of looking at life, isn't it? It's saying, okay, God, I see you every step of the way, and you made this happen. I just want to remember that. No, you do need to work hard. You do need to take advantage. You do need to walk through the door. That's the part that we do. But what's the source of it? God is the source of all good things in our life, and God makes people great, and God opens doors. Just remember that. Okay, so step number one is remember where it all comes from. Step number two is allow yourself to enjoy it. Allow yourself to enjoy it. And some of you are going, no way, I can't do that. There's a Puritan, I think, in everybody in America, some sort of Puritanism. I can't enjoy it. I can't enjoy it. Maybe some of you guys are like me, too. Are any of you like, I got to take the next hill kind of people? You know what I'm talking about? We don't ever celebrate. You like something good happens and immediately you're going, what's next? All right, what's next? All right, I got a house. Now I got to clean it. Got the new car and I got to put gas in it, right? I got to drive around so everybody can see me in the new car, right? I got a new job. What do I got to do? I got to get everything ready for this new job, get everything all aligned, got to make sure I'm doing all my stuff. There's never a time to celebrate, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Never. Birthday, okay, I got to get all this stuff running. So we never celebrate anything. So what happens is we're dull people. Let's be honest, we're kind of dull. We don't celebrate. The Jews know how to celebrate. God told them, you need to celebrate throughout the year. And every time there's a wedding, I want you to celebrate. I want you to enjoy it. And I want you to enjoy what I've given you. You know that God says that? I want you to enjoy it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, as for the rich in this present age, if God has done anything for you, if you have more than $2 in your pocket or in your bank account, you are rich according to the rest of the world. He says, charge them not to be haughty. One of my all-time favorite words. Don't look down on people when you have stuff. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. It won't last. The good stuff that we have doesn't last. But don't let that depress you. Right? Bad stuff's not going to last. The good stuff's not going to last. The perfect stuff will last in heaven. Look forward to that. But don't put your hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God. He lasts, who richly provides us with everything to what? To enjoy. God gave you things to enjoy. It's okay to sit down in that hamburger and go, God, this is a good hamburger. Thank you for making beef. I love beef. Thank you, God, for making chicken. I love this chicken. God, I'm not sure about asparagus today. But you had a reason for it, and I'm going to try to figure that out, okay? I'm going to enjoy everything that you give me because it keeps me healthy so I can enjoy more hamburgers or whatever it may be. But I'm going to enjoy this because you gave it to me. Enjoy it. I'm not going to let it replace you, but I'm going to enjoy what you've given me. Time magazine had an article the other day about joy. And they wrote about a guy named Richard Davidson, who is a researcher at the University of Wisconsin, and he did a study called The Biology of Joy. I didn't know this. Some of you guys are biology people. You know these kinds of things. But you feel joy, and I feel joy, in the left prefrontal lobe of your brain. And if we stuck you under an MRI when you're enjoying something, it actually shows that that part of your brain is all lit up. It's active. It's working. And they said through this study that some people are born happy. You ever met a happy boy or a girl? You know, they're just happy that way. Everything's good in their life. And that part of their brain just active all the time, but the rest of us have to activate it. And you activate it by doing something that makes you happy. And you can make it grow by being happier. And in this study, this is what they found out, that people that have joy and are happier are healthier. Did you know that? And I think this is interesting, that people that have happiness in their life and joy in their life, and they're enjoying their life, they have less chance at cardiovascular disease, less chance at diabetes, less chance for colds, and I really thought this was interesting, less chance for sinus infections. I thought it was all to do with germs, but it's something to do with your immune system. So here's the deal. When you're happy, you're healthy. When you're sad all the time, you're sick and ill. So here's kind of a cycle, isn't it? What happens? I'm unhappy, I'm happy, I get sick. So what do? I'm unhappier, I get more sick, and it just kind of spirals down. When I'm doing well, I'm joyful, I'm healthier. It's not always, but it helps, okay? And I thought that was interesting. Well, what if we could all be joyful all the time? We just dump our insurance, right? The poor doctors wouldn't know what to do. I guess they deal with everybody else. But we would just exhibit this joy, we'd be healthier. I don't know about you, but as I looked at my life and everything, I look back at my past, and I used to like follow and understand Winnie the Pooh. Does anybody understand Winnie the Pooh? You guys are familiar with this character, right? You know who I'm talking about if I say Winnie the Pooh. And if I suggested to you that Winnie the Pooh was, you know, very wise bear, but the writer behind him, you would know something about this. You would know about Eeyore, right? And if I ask you right now to, on your paper, write down several Eeyores in your life, you could do it, right? You would know exactly what I'm talking about. These are the people that go, it's beautiful outside, but it's going to rain, right? I got a new car, but it's going to break down. I got to pay insurance. You know these people. Everything is negative, and you could write their names down, right? What about the other side? Who's the other side? Who's the opposite? Tigger, right? You guys know Tigger. Now, Roo is pretty positive. He's a little guy, but Roo's positive. But Tigger's the one, right? He bounces through life, and I'm not saying bounce through life and ignore problems. I'm not saying Pollyanna kind of stuff. I'm just saying to enjoy life. And what God's given you is just as important to mourn. They're both important. Sometimes we spend more time mourning, being Eeyore, than we do about being joyful. In the Psalm 92, verse 4, it says this, the writer, for you, O Lord, have made me glad at your work. God, I see you at work. You've made me glad. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. If we could run our brains through an MRI while Charlie is leading worship, would our prefrontal lobes, the left hand side, show that we are experiencing joy? Wouldn't that be cool if they could hook us all up right here and they had a little screen over here and they go, wow, look at the joy. Look at the joy, except for like one table or something, you know, that table over there. They need to get some more joy. But that'd be cool to sing with joy, no matter what our situation, because the tough times don't last and the things of this earth don't last, but Jesus does. And we find joy in him. Allow yourself to enjoy it. And the third thing, the third step I get from this is stay connected to God through it all, which is the most important. What do you do when life is going good? Well, you remember where it all comes from. You allow yourself to enjoy it, and you stay connected to God through it all. We don't want to be like those Israelites that if you read their story after Deuteronomy, they did not stay connected to God. It doesn't take long, right? You jump right into Judges, and what happens in Judges? People start doing their own thing. They turn away from God. You get to Jeremiah, if you're reading through the Old Testament, you're going, God's fed up with them. Because they have just turned completely away. They enjoyed his stuff so much, they forgot him. And they just left him. We don't want to be like that. Stay connected to God through it all. At the end of Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14, it says this, the righteous, the ones who are walking with God, flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Notice some of these words like flourish. Something about our souls are flourishing when we're doing this. Next verse. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. Did I miss one? I love this analogy that he's doing. He is saying that when we're walking with God, when we're connected to God, when we have this relationship with God, we're like a tree. And here we live, there's a lot of trees, right? That's something you notice. If you ever go away to another state, you ever come back and see how green this place is? There are so many trees. And one of the fun things about our trip is when we went out west, we went through the desert, and there is nothing. There's parts of the desert where there's no greening, there's no grass, there's no, not even shrubs, or maybe a sagebrush every now and then. And then we went to Palm Springs, where it was 110. They always say this, 110, but it's a dry heat. And it was a dry heat, and it was hot, but it is different, the humidity. But you get out there, and it is different. And there's people don't have grass in their yards, they have rocks. And rocks are really easy to take care of. You put them there, and they stay. You don't have to cut them, you don't have to water them, you don't do anything. There's rocks. But then you notice in a place called Palm Springs, they have palms there. And the reason they have palms in Palm Springs is because there's springs there. And a palm tree looks a lot like a flag, I've noticed. It's tall, and it's got those branches at the top that kind of flap in the wind. And what it kind of says is, like, there's water here. There's only one way those things would grow there. It's because of the springs. And then the Colorado River, they diverted there to water the different things they have growing. But you can see the palm trees for miles. And I think when the writer wrote this, he's saying, look, You can tell who's plugged in. You can tell who's plugged into the water source because they are flourishing. You take a palm tree and uproot it from the springs and uproot it from near the river and put it out in the desert, it dies. Same thing with human beings. You uproot us from God and we die spiritually. Stay connected. I love this idea that as they were planted, it says they bear fruit still in old age and they're ever full of sap and green because they declared that the Lord is upright. This is where we get it from, being plugged in to God, plugged into him through his word, plugged into him through prayer, plugged in through praise, through fellowshipping with one another. It's how our souls flourish. It's how we stay alive. Stay connected. Don't allow that thing that God's put in your life, that good thing, to disconnect you. At the beginning of Psalms, at the very beginning, the writer wants us to get this understanding. Psalm 1:1 through 3 is one of the most famous parts of the Psalms. I just want to close with this. And he's kind of laying the foundation for all the Psalms, all the things that we've been looking at. And this is what he said. Blessed, which means happy, fulfilled in the favor of God, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So kind of sit there, but go back to that for a second. Verse 1. The person who's happy is not the one who walks with everybody else that's going the wrong way. It's not the person that stands with all the people doing the wrong thing. Or the person that sits and makes fun of everything and just is above everything. That's not a way to find happiness. It's not a way to be blessed. But how do you find it? Verse 2. But the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the person who loves God's word, who delves into it, who dives into it, who memorizes it, who knows it, who's going through the book of Psalms, even go, okay, God, speak to me. Let me hear from you. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's thinking about God's law. He's thinking about who God is. He's connected to God. That's the person who's blessed. In verse 3, here's this idea again, that he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he prospers. And prospers means he just has more than he needs. It doesn't mean you're necessarily rich. It just means that your life flourishes. That's how we find joy, is being connected with this God who loves us and cares about us. So my hope for you as we went through this series, as Charlie kicked us off and I'm closing out, is really this, is that every day that you're just blessed, that God just pours into you new joy, and that you remember where it came from. And that as you go through this life and you're just celebrating with him, that you allow yourself to enjoy it, what God's doing, and that you just stay connected to him. And that's where the real life that God wants us to have is. Loving God, living for God, being connected to God. So let's pray together. Father God, as we close this out, this series, this short series, I just pray that everybody here, all of us, are just growing closer to you, becoming more and more like your son. I pray, Father, for anyone that came in today and their life is not filled with joy right now, they're just struggling with a lot of different things, I pray for them, Father, to really hear your voice, that you love them in the midst of that. And I pray that something brings them great joy today, even in that present moment where Yahweh, the God who says, I am existing, I'm here. So, Father, I pray for all of us, the rest of us, maybe that things are going okay or even better than okay. I pray that you'll use this time to bring us closer to you in a way that we see your hand at work and we tell everybody what great and wonderful things that you're doing. And so the name of God, the name of Yahweh, the name of Jesus will be spread throughout this world and he will receive the fame and you will receive the fame through us. Father God, just continue to speak to us through this time in the name of Jesus. Amen.